are listening to the Sunday morning podcast of Derrida Church in Charlotte, North Carolina. We pray you will grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We pray now that as your word is read and proclaimed by your Holy Spirit, we would hear, believe, and obey. We ask this in the name of Jesus, who alone is the Word made flesh. Amen. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Hear now the word of God. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. If we could go back in time, if you could walk with me many years ago when I was in school. When I was in school, I spent a lot of time in the music crowd. I was in the school orchestra. I was in the marching band. I was in a small jazz quartet. But there was a part of me, however, that really, really wanted to be an athlete. The problem was that I was too short for basketball and too skinny for football. All of my athletic dreams seemed hopeless until I discovered running. I joined the cross-country team and then the track team, where I ran the mile, the 2 mile, and the 2 mile relay. Running is at the same time a simple sport and an excruciatingly difficult sport. Running is the most ancient form of athletic competition. As a sport, it is thousands of years old. And what was true about running in ancient times is still true today. The most important issue in running, listen to me, the most important issue in running is endurance. Keep running. Don't quit. Don't give up. Keep putting one step in front of the other. How do you run a marathon? You just keep putting one foot in front of the other until you cross the finish line. Don't quit. Endurance is the key to running. Endurance in running is, however, a demanding and formidable task. There is the pull of gravity, the pounding of your feet on the hard ground. There is the weight of your body on your knees and the struggle to maintain your breath while you're running. And that's just the physical part oftentimes the mental, the emotional part is even more difficult than the physical. As you're running, trying to keep your body in check, as you're running, there's a voice in your head saying, "You can't make it. This is too hard. You're too tired. This hurts too much. You can't do this anymore. You can't make it to the end. Just stop now." In running, you have to fight that voice and the pain in your body for the sake of endurance. And so you can understand this morning. You can understand why the Holy Spirit would inspire biblical writers to use running as a metaphor to describe the Christian life. 1 Corinthians 9:24, in writing about the need for Christians to have self-discipline, the Bible says, "Run. Run in such a way as to get the prize." The Apostle Paul, nearing the end of his life, wrote in 2 Timothy 4:7, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I've kept the faith." Our text this morning from Hebrews 12 is a word of optimism. It's a word of optimism coming to us in the midst of the difficulty of the run. It's a word of optimism cheering you on, spurring you on, like people who line the road in a marathon. This text is like people who line the road in a marathon, cheering on the runners and handing out cups of refreshing water to weary runners. This text says, "You can do this. Keep going. Don't stop. You're going to make it." The book of Hebrews was written to a group of Christians who were struggling to endure in the faith. It was written to a generation of Christians who were weary and tired and on the verge of quitting. You see, it wasn't easy to be a Christian in the first century. It wasn't easy to be a Christian in the first century in the midst of pagan Roman culture. Those believers were under great social pressure to be like the people in their society. Great pressure. Listen, loving your neighbor, caring for the poor, seeing all people, rich and poor, men and women, every ethnicity as equal brothers and sisters, loving your enemies, seeing leaders as servants. These were not the values of a pagan Roman society, and it made Christians stand out as odd. Not only as odd, it made them stand out as a threat. It was not easy to be a Christian in the first century. They were ridiculed, excluded, and misunderstood. It wasn't easy being a Christian in the first century. And it's not easy to be a Christian in the 21st century. Believers today are struggling. Believers today are struggling to stay strong. Believers today are weakening spiritually to the point of wanting to give up. Listen, you already know how much our society has changed. The church in America grew accustomed, maybe even a little bit spoiled by. But we grew accustomed to being an established, well thought of, respected, influential institution in our society. Now the church is struggling. We're struggling with a new situation, a new context, a new environment, one in which we are marginal and ignored. Right now, this day, in almost every county in America, 50% of the people, at least 50%, do not attend anybody's church. The average size church in America is 75 people or less. We have this thinking that, oh, all the people have gone to the mega churches. That's not true. If you take all of the Christians in the country right now, only about 10%, max 15%, attend mega churches. Our situation has changed. Some people in our society are even saying that Christian faith at its core is arrogant. How can you Christians say that there is only one way to be saved and that Jesus is it? You all are just arrogant. Our situation has changed. In light of science and technology, people are asking, how can Christians still believe in the resurrection of a crucified Messiah? And so, like our brothers and sisters in the first century, there's pressure. There's pressure from our society. And to add to that pressure, there are the hardships of life. Health problems, financial struggles, relationships, and work. Add to that the work of the enemy, demonic forces tempting and attacking believers. So again, like our brothers and sisters in the first century, we live in times which move many to give up and quit, or at least not try so hard to be a faithful follower of Jesus. Because there is a way to give up, but not leave. I mean, you can give up in a marriage, but still live under the same roof. You can give up at work or at school and just kind of coast. Both in the early church and in the church today, there are those who give up the Christian run and they leave the church. But there are also those who physically stay, but they check out. Passion for Jesus is put on the shelf. And so these words from Hebrews chapter 12 are meant to cheer you on. They're meant to inspire you to keep running, like this woman in the video. Even if you have to crawl, keep moving toward the goal. In a race, you got to keep going. So I want to offer you this morning four words of counsel from the text. Four words of counsel to help you keep running. First this morning, our text simply says, be encouraged. Be encouraged today. Look at the first part, the beginning of verse 1. The writer of Hebrews writes, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, be encouraged today, Christians. You are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. Now, what does that mean? What does cloud of witnesses mean? First of all, let me tell you what it does not mean. It does not mean that those who have gone before us are up in glory watching down on us. There is a popular idea that those who have gone before us are in glory watching down over us. That's not what this text is saying. The great cloud of witnesses are those who have gone before us, who are witnesses, not in the sense of being spectators. They are witnesses in the sense that the way they lived their lives, the way they remained faithful to Jesus, that their legacy of faith is a witness to us. The point Hebrews is making here is that because they did it, you can do it. Because they remained faithful in this run, you can remain faithful in this run. Because they endured by faith, you can endure by faith. This cloud of witnesses mentioned in Hebrews 12 actually points us back to Hebrews chapter 11. Chapter 11 is often called the faith chapter or the hall of faith, which begins, "Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see." Then the rest of chapter 11 lists people in the Old Testament and all that they accomplished and endured by faith. By faith, Noah. By faith, Abraham and Sarah. By faith, Joseph. By faith, Moses. And on and on. They went through things much more difficult than us. And if they made it, we can make it. We can make it. Be encouraged. Before we leave this point, let me remind you that you are also leaving a legacy of faith. For people. You're leaving a legacy for those who come after you. Those of you who are the oldest among us, know that you already have so much to offer. Think of how the kids at the King's Academy School here, think of how they could benefit from your experience, from the life of faith that you have lived. I remember how much I benefited greatly when I was 18, 19, spending time with, being in the home of my teacher, Dr. William Ramsey, as he told me stories of being on a boat in the Pacific during World War II and how he fought during that time to keep his faith in the Lord. And as an 18-year-old, I thought, well, if he could do that, what can I do by faith in the Lord? Friends, be encouraged. Be encouraged to keep running. Sometimes we get this mentality that we reach a certain place and then we can kind of retire. I was serving another congregation, and one of the most beloved senior members said to me, "Pastor, I've done my time in the church. It's now time for me to rest and coast." No, you don't. You don't get to rest and coast until you cross the finish line. In this race, keep going. Be encouraged. You're surrounded by a cloud of witnesses. Keep running. If they can do it, you can do it. Two, the text tells us to lighten up. Lighten up. If you're going to run this Christian race, lighten up. That is, lighten your load. Look at the second part of verse 1. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Instead of wearing the long robe-like garments of everyday life, runners in ancient Rome would strip down to a loincloth or even go without any clothes in order to shed any extra weight or any hindrance that would keep them from running their best race. Here in Hebrews, the Holy Spirit is calling believers to do some spiritual work. The text is telling us that we need to be intentional about shedding two kinds of impediments. Everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. First, let us throw off everything that hinders. This refers to things in your life that are not bad in and of themselves, but are an unhelpful spiritual weight. Things like trying to do too much. Th- things like people pleasing, things like self-pity, things like feelings of self-importance. Hebrews says, examine your heart, examine your life. What are some things in your life that are they're just weighing you down, and they will not let you run your best race? Right? You've got some things in your life that are not bad, but they can get out of balance and harm you. Right? I joke all the time about eating ice cream. Love ice cream. But eat too much of it and it'll kill you. Take a look at your life. What are the things in your life that are, they're not bad, but they're just weighing you down? Throw those off. Second, we're told in the text to throw off the sin that so easily entangles. The sin that so easily entangles. This is not only about sin in general. It's about the sin that you in particular have a propensity for. An old-fashioned label for this would be besetting sins. These are the habitual sins that you struggle with. These are the pet sins that you hang on to because at some level, even though you know it's wrong, you like it. These are the sins that you play with. These are the sins where you get pleasure out of them, and then once you have a certain level of pleasure in them, you then turn and hate them and try to reject it, but then you end up going back to them. You're in this cycle of sin and reject it, sin and reject the sin, invite the sin, reject the sin. You're in this cycle. These are the sins that you keep around as pets. In order to run this Christian race, Hebrews here is inviting you to get honest. To get honest that you both love and hate this sin or sins. That you have not been really fully committed to getting rid of it. You've just kind of been playing with it, keeping it for a while and then trying to reject it, but then bringing it back in. So Hebrews, get honest about that reality in your life. Then begin to feed your soul with the word of God so that you'll be strengthened to walk in obedience. Keep going to the cross of Jesus for forgiveness and keep relying on the Holy Spirit for help. Speaking of help, is if your besetting sin is an addiction, hey, there's no shame in getting professional help. But Hebrews is very clear. If you're going to run your best race, look at your life. Look at the sin. Look at the weight and throw it off so that you can run. Be encouraged. Lighten up. Three, the text tells us, run with everything you've got. Run with everything you've got. Look at the last part of verse 1. And let us run. Let us run. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Run with everything you've got. Here, Hebrews is encouraging you to pause and ask yourself, if you're actually running the Christian race. You see, I can go to the mall this afternoon and buy the best pair of running shoes, but that doesn't mean I'm actually going to run. I can get a gym membership, but that doesn't mean I'm actually going to go to the gym and get on the treadmill and run. Hebrews 12 is encouraging you to ask yourself if you're actually running the Christian race. Or have you substituted the trappings of Christianity and the trappings of church? Have you simply learned church lingo and church programs? Have you substituted that for actually following Jesus? And I know this might sound like a bit of a downer, but it's actually encouragement to your soul to realize and reaffirm that you are indeed following Jesus and running the life of faith in Him. Run with everything you've got, and let us run with perseverance. Again, this life of faith requires determination and commitment and grit. And although we are using running as an analogy, this is not a game. This is not a hobby. This Christian race is not, it's not an add-on, an addition to your life. It is your life. You are running for your life. So run with perseverance. Be encouraged. Lighten up. Run with everything you've got. Fourth, most importantly, fix your gaze. Fix your gaze. Look again at verses 2 and 3. We'll just begin with verse 2. Verse 2 begins, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. The most important thing you can do to run with perseverance is to fix your eyes on Jesus. Focus on Him. Concentrate on Him. Jesus is everything. He is your highest joy and your greatest treasure. Focus on Jesus. Don't focus on your hardship. Don't focus on your problems. Don't even focus on your own weaknesses. You see them, but don't focus on them. Focus on Jesus. The Bible tells us that when Peter focused on Jesus, he walked on water. And when he took his eyes off of Jesus, he started to sink. Focus on Jesus. Why? Because He is, the text says, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. Pioneer means He's the trailblazer. He's the champion. He's the only one who has perfectly run the race. He's the only one who has perfectly obeyed the Father. He is the forerunner of all believers being brought into glory. He has already blazed the trail for us. He's not only the pioneer, He's the perfecter of faith. The perfecter. This means that Jesus perfectly trusted the Father, and so He will train to perfection your faith. He will train to perfection your faith so that you will cross the finish line. The Bible says that He who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it. He will perfect your faith so that you cross the finish line. He'll do it. He'll do it. Verse 2 continues. For the joy, I love this part. For the joy set before Him, He endured the cross, scorning its shame, sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus had a joy. He had a joy on the inside of Him that enabled Him to endure even the horror of the cross. What was that joy? What was Jesus' joy? It was the joy of fulfilling the promise of Genesis 3 to crush the serpent's head. It was the joy of defeating sin and death. It was the joy of redeeming sinners like you and me, making us children of God. It was the joy of spending eternity with you. It was the joy of perfectly obeying the Father, not my will, but yours be done. It was the joy of inaugurating the kingdom of God. It was the joy of inaugurating new creation. For this joy, Jesus endured the cross, scorning its shame. Oh, crucifixion was a shameful way to die. It was a criminal's death. It was a death meant to teach that one ought to fear Rome and not God. You were stripped naked, hung on a cross, and left there to die with your family. Your family. Your friends looking up at you. Your enemies looking up at you. It's a shameful way to die. But Jesus endured it. Jesus conquered it. And now he's seated at the Father's right hand. At the end of the race, there is reward, not only for Jesus, but also for you. There's reward at the end for the joy. Endure, endure for the joy. So run, run. Our text ends with verse 3. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. When the Christian life gets hard, when the voice in your head says, just quit, you can't make it, think about all the terrible things Jesus endured. Ridiculed, whipped, beaten, spat upon, nailed to a cross. But he did not give in. He did not give up. Faith, hear me now, faith in Jesus enables you to keep going when you'd rather quit. Church, I know these days can be difficult. Can be difficult to be the church. And you can be tempted, just let's just put this thing in cruise control. Let's not try anything hard or new. Let's not stop running. Let's look to Jesus. Know the word. You know the word from the prophet Isaiah. They who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. Thanks be to God.